in the Sunday School Hour. And those of you who are here earlier know that I'm having some voice trouble. I got a cold earlier this week, so hopefully I can I'll get stronger as the week goes on. But we're looking this week in seven of our messages at the Lord Jesus's letters to the churches of Asia Minor. And in the first hour, we looked at the letter to the church at Ephesus, and now the letter to the church at Smyrna. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Revelation chapter 2. We believe, do we not, that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, our only rule of faith and practice. So Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11. Hear God's Word. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who is dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. My dear friends, we need revival in our nation. Revival is an individual, a family, a church, a community, a nation soaked with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drenching our lives, changing us, renewing us. We must have revival. Now, when the nation of Israel under Joshua was about to go into the promised land, just before Moses dies, God gives Moses this word. He says, now, it shall come about, if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you are careful to do all the commandments with which I teach you today, then you will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. Blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the country. And he goes on for 14 verses and talks about the magnificent blessings which will come to Israel if they will just obey God and not go after idols. Then he says, but it shall come about if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you are not careful to do the commandments with which I command you today, if you're not careful to walk in the statutes which I give you, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you'll be in the city and cursed you'll be in the country. And he goes on for about 50 verses with sordid, specific judgment that's going to come. It's awful. Read about it sometime. Deuteronomy 28. Well, Israel didn't listen, did they? After the division of the northern and southern kingdom, Jeroboam the first in the northern kingdom led Israel into idolatry from Dan to Beersheba, and the people never repented. God sent them Isaiah and Hosea and many other prophets, Amos. They didn't listen. So in 722 B.C., they were sent into exile at the hands of the Assyrians. They never came back. Now, the southern kingdom, under Rehoboam, he was a wicked king. But there was a few good kings every now and then, Hezekiah, Josiah, a few good ones. They lasted longer, but God sent them prophets too, Isaiah and Daniel and Jeremiah. They didn't listen. In 586 B.C., they were taken away into exile at the hands of the Babylonians. But God had prophesied through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 25 and 29, that after the 70 years were completed for Babylon, he says, I'll come and visit you, and I will fulfill my word to you, and I will restore your fortunes to you. I know the plans that I have for you, welfare, not calamity, give you a future, not a, and a hope. And then Daniel's reading this in Daniel 9, and he's encouraged, because now Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, is now the king of Median descent. So the Medo-Persians have driven out the Babylonians. It's about time we're going to go back into the land. He's rejoicing. They're back in the land. God's merciful. God raises up Hosea to preach and say, you people are building your houses while the Lord's house remains desolate. You need to repent. So they rebuild the temple. And so God raises up Ezra to rebuild the temple, and they're doing well. But then they continue, after all God has done, to give their children to be married to pagans. Now, just before that, he says, I'm encouraged because God is giving us a little reviving. A little revival. They've come back into the land. That's the little revival. In Psalm 85, he says, wilt thou not thyself revive us again, that all thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy loving kindness, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. They're looking for a big revival, the little revival. They've come back from the exile. The psalmist in Psalm 85 is saying, wilt thou not revive us again, lest we go back to folly? Lord, we don't want to go back to folly. We've been there too many times. We know you'll bless us if we'll obey. We have a long history of disobeying you. God, you brought us back into the land. We're having a little revival. Do not let us go back into folly. They're looking for the big revival. Joel chapter 2. I'll pour out my spirit on all mankind. Luke 24. After his resurrection, prior to his ascension, Jesus says to his disciples, now listen, you guys have seen me for 40 days. And you know what I've called you to do. I want you to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all the nations, beginning right here in Jerusalem. But don't even go out there yet. Don't even think about it. Don't even go until you've been clothed with power from on high. Wait in the city until you get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, verse 8, he says, now you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness. The word is martyr. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the earth. So they're praying for 10 days in the upper room as Jesus ascends into heaven. And on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, as the Jews are gathered together, the Holy Spirit comes down just as God promised He would. And Peter, you know, who'd been a coward, who promised big things, he would not deny Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times, man. That's what he did. Now, this coward is bold as a lion, and he's preaching Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 are saved. Jesus had said in John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Listen, Jesus is holy. We can't be more holy than Jesus. Jesus performs the miracles. We can't do that. So when he says, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father, he's talking about saving souls. He's talking about conversion. There's no indication in the Bible that Jesus saw lots of conversions. Maybe he did. You can't always bet on an argument from silence, but the scripture doesn't say that. But Peter, you know, the guy who'd been the coward, when the Holy Spirit came, he's preaching and 3,000 are saved in one day. Amazing. So the big revival came. Now listen, folks. The book of Acts is normative. Hey, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. That's a peripheral thing. That's not even the major thrust of what he's talking about. The major deal is this. When you read in the book of Acts, you can't miss the marks of a revival culture. There ought to be mighty praying in the Spirit. There ought to be mighty preaching. There ought to be mighty conversions. There ought to be mighty assemblies. You know, the presence of God coming down into a worship service. You feel His presence. The place where they were gathered together was shaken. Where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the place where they were gathered was shaken. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Then mighty conversions. And mighty generosity. And mighty personal evangelism. Everybody sharing Jesus in a revival culture. Mighty societal impact. Do we not need that in our day? Listen, if 10% of our population of 350 million people were truly and soundly converted, you know, that's 35 million. We've only got 26 million real Christians in this country right now. We'd more than double that number. You don't think same-sex marriage goes out the window? You don't think we get rid of abortion? You don't think we get rid of the poverty and the rioting and so forth that's going on? Absolutely. That goes away. Mighty societal impact. Mighty leadership. God raises up leaders. There's money. There's missionaries. There's church planters. There's pastors. There's counselors. There's Sunday school teachers. There's even nursery workers. You know, you got enough nursery workers to go around. There's also opposition. From the status quo church, from the devil, from the world. That's revival. And we need it. Now, Jesus is writing to the churches of Asia Minor. There's been a revival. This is in the early days of the church, within 30 years after Jesus has ascended into heaven. Around 60 A.D., 58 to 60 A.D., God did a mighty work in Asia Minor. From that one church in Ephesus, churches in Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea and Hierapolis and Colossae were established, all from the church at Ephesus. Now here we are. Jesus is writing the church at Smyrna. Smyrna was a great city. Smyrna was an economic center. Smyrna was a beautiful, beautiful place. They had the westward zephyr winds that came in from the Mediterranean. It was always cool there. It was a city that had been established 1,000 years before Christ. About 600 B.C., it was utterly destroyed. 200 years later, 400 years.